Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 199, Tom. Oh my gosh, that's getting very close to 200.
Oh, cheerio. We're getting ready for a big party.
200.
That's officially old.
I think I'm going to call us established.
Oh, dignified, rarefied.
Yeah.
A solid vintage.
That's good. That's what we're going with. So we're going to celebrate. We thought about celebrating on the podcast and then we're like, well, we can do a bit of that, but the real celebration probably would work better on the lunchtime quiz, the Friday lunchtime quiz.
We can get live, get a little bit loose. Whoa.
And it's already like celebratory kind of vibe going on there anyway, so why not just do that?
I'm going to wear a party hat at a jaunty angle.
Whoa, that means you are here to party.
I'm going to wear it at an angle that would closely resemble how Goofy likes to wear his hat, or perhaps Jughead, on such a cocked angle that people go, whoa. Is that an intentional disregard of proper hat etiquette?
I think he might be here to party and be the life of said fun time.
That is right. Speaking of fun times, yes. I've had some good rest over the last few days, so I have come to play today.
Oh, this is good. I had a good night's sleep as well last night, and I am here to talk about all of the things, and not much of it will be about the Emmys, because that was on earlier in the week, and sometimes I feel like the Emmys or awards nights end up taking everything.
Well, I can cover off my little bit of Emmys coverage right now if you'd like.
Do it.
Emmy wins that I've watched, zero. Guess I should watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And the other note I made was it's been 15 years since network television won Best Drama. Last time they at network television won was for 24 season 5.
24 season 5. Gosh, they had a lot of seasons as well. So that tells you where we're at with all of that.
I know. And stay tuned for about 3 years when that's a Watchers Live quest.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to do that for sure. I did see that all the years of like Netflix coming up with new programs and movies and all that kind of thing, it really is starting to pay off, not only with the nominations we talked about last week, but they did get a couple of wins for stuff that I also haven't watched. The Crown, Queen's Gambit, they like heaps of different things. But there were a lot of shows that people were hoping were going to get the win,
yep,
and then they didn't, like The Boys.
There was a great description. Someone said that the Emmys shoved the proverbial nerd in the locker. And they were like, The Boys,
like
WandaVision, Mandalorian. Okay, sure, you're nominated for a lot, but you're not getting anything.
Because if The Boys had won, that would have been the first superhero comic book show that had won anything.
Yeah. I'm furious that Catherine Hahn didn't win for Best Supporting Actress. Someone did rightly point out that category is based on per episode, and it's quite difficult to nominate one episode of hers that's so standout when it's more the trajectory of her character. So yeah. I understand that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
I'm still
that
not
was
happy.
Bullshit.
I'm not happy with that at all.
Another one, Hacks. It's on my list of I should have watched Hacks. It's Nick Hoffman, Gene Smart. It's a whole bunch of people that I really like. But it just looks like so much work.
Kind of like, I know that if I watch it, I will like Ted Lasso, but I just have all these other things I need to watch. Like just getting through the week's worth of watching at the moment, it's like, whoa, there's so much going on.
I know, there's so much. I'm the same boat, Ted Lasso. I hear good things.
Yeah.
I have no interest in soccer, and that makes it very difficult to kind of latch on. I did like that. I believe his name is Brett Goldstein. He won for Best Supporting Actor or something like that for that show. It's hilarious because I will always know him. He was on Hoff the Record, which was that weird Hasselhoff trying to get his career restarted. It felt like something Ricky Gervais would write.
Yes.
And that actor, he played the Hoff's personal trainer. who was making some very poor suggestions. But it feels like when Olivia Colman won, everyone was like, oh, she gets to be a big deal in America now.
Yeah.
that's what this feels like has suddenly happened to this, you know, somewhat regional English comedian actor.
do you feel that sometimes the Emmys and other American awards, they get a bit starstruck by the English actors, so they give them awards, like, regardless?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, proper actors, because they're from England.
They must have done theatre.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the word OK. It's versatile and can be used in many different languages to convey agreeance, acknowledgement, or a simple middle-of-the-road scoring system. Thanks, OK. We think you're OK. For the first time in 208 years, the mirrors in town have stopped working. Model and influencer Mackenzie Mackerel was the first to notice and raise the alarm. She was getting ready to take a photo for a post about pretending to read books when she glanced at the mirror to make sure her casual fake eyelashes were on straight and ended up staring into a piece of boring glass. She was lucky enough to use her camera on the phone to check she looked Insta-ready, but said that that's not always possible when setting up a typical casual influencer post. Wizard Shaw and Witches Polsky and Donovan have been called in to see what they can do about it. All three have massive Rolodex of spells that they can try out and feel confident that they will have our mirrors all back working by the end of the day. Everyone's favourite migrating crane, Stanley, is expected to be in the area with his mates next week. The mayor has thought it might be nice if we can all make signs welcoming the bird back again. The other councillors, however, pointed out that they can't read. The cranes, not the councillors. And perhaps it would be better to draw pictures indicating our joy and happiness with hosting the flock again. Then Beryl suggested it might be better to use bird droppings instead of paint. Everyone went silent for a while, then agreed with her. Beryl always comes up with the corker ideas, doesn't she? This month's informal catch-up Zoom meeting has been cancelled because everybody is sick of nodding at a screen while people talk over each other. Instead, we're being encouraged to talk to ourselves in front of the mirror, if they're fixed in time. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I got some good news for you. It's not about any awards, but it looks like they're getting the composer Howard Shaw, who worked on the Lord of the Rings films. He won like Oscars for his work on there. He's in talks to compose the music for the TV series for Amazon. That makes sense. I really hope it happens because I like the thought of that continuity.
Marvel love doing it. You know, the Star Wars people love getting John Williams in when they can afford it for different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consistency is key. And, look, it makes a lot of sense. It's funny how I, for the life of me, can't think of a single Lord of the Rings song right now.
Yeah,
but
I know
if I sat down. And,
yeah, like, you'll go, oh, that's
heard
what
a few
it
things.
Is.
Oh, of course, like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting because it also reminds me that this show, like massive, like they have spent, I think it's well over 640 million Australian. I think I did the conversion correctly. For the first season alone, right? They finished all the shooting, or they call it the principal photography, and we should be getting that show this time next year.
All right, cool. They've got a lot of special effects work to do. That
They've
makes
got
sense.
A lot to do. Yeah.
So as you say, they finished principal photography. I assume that we should assume that means on season one.
On season one, yep, that's right. In New Zealand, and the rest of the production, well, the majority of the production just stays there because Amazon decided that they were going to do a lot of their production in New Zealand, I think a year or two ago. They were like, yeah, we're going to do it here. This is where we're going to stay.
Do you know what that is?
What's that?
That's a choice. Thank you. Speaking of making choices, Christopher Nolan sent some seismic shockwaves this week. He has uprooted camp and moved to Universal Studios.
Was there any talk about this? Did anybody kind of have an inkling that this was going to happen, or is this like, what? Straight out of left field?
Yes, people thought this was happening. It was kind of knowledge that he was shopping himself around because – so Warner Brothers has basically released everything he's done, I think, since Memento, something like that. He's been the exclusive partner been a very fruitful relationship for both sides. But the way Tenet was released and treated, and he was excluded from a lot of the conversations around that, and it does, it's now going to be a film released with an asterisk against its name and tarnishes his streak. He was, he came up with a new list of demands, basically, of any studio that wanted to work with him had to meet these. And most of them were around exclusive windows and expectations on box office, theatrical release, marketing support, or things that to the layperson seem pretty crazy, but when you actually put them up against what Spielberg or some of these other guys have as their demands and things like that, it's not particularly unreasonable for a director of his stead. So yeah, it's a massive deal that he's shifted over to Universal. We will hear more details of that. I think, and just on a personal note, this is very exciting for theme park possibilities, because his stuff wasn't being leveraged by Warner Brothers hugely well. And I can see Universal putting on their thinking caps right away and coming up with some amazing VR ride in the world of Inception or, a space simulator like Interstellar, or, there's some very ripe properties in the back catalogue that he could potentially bring with.
Do you think that they may also try and, talk him into rebooting one of their big properties, or maybe getting involved in the sequel of something, and then maybe that's where they can also start to get the rides going?
Well, he's not big on sequels. He's kind of done that with the Batman films, so I don't know. And he does tend to do a bit of one for you, one for me.
Yeah.
And by that I mean like one easily digestible big blockbuster or sexy sci-fi movie a la Inception or Interstellar.
Yeah.
And then in between that, something like, Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something that's far more of his personal interests and passion project. So I think that's what we'll get from Universal, is there will be, here is the big ticket item. And, I mean, if anyone could do an insane job rebooting or doing a complete new version of The Terminator.
Yeah.
Time-traveling, futuristic assassin robots that you've got to send someone back who becomes his own father. I think Christopher Nolan could do a good job with that property. If you want him to work on a reboot.
I'm just trying to think of how a James Cameron would work in that world as well. Like, would they work together? Would they work separately?
I think the way that you get that across the line is there's got to be some bit in the script where the Terminator central processing unit hive mind is in a very, very deep sea trench bunker. And someone's got to submarine it down there, and that way James Cameron gets to be in charge of all this deep sea filming.
I'll do that bit. That is big news, and for the distant future as well. Like that sounds like something that's going to be a deal, a contract.
It is.
It is a
big thing, and it's also, I hate to say it, but it's a real loss for Warner Brothers, because that guy has guaranteed them $500,000 every 18 to 24 months.
Yep. Who do they get instead? Do they get someone else instead, or do they go for a heap of different directors? I don't know. Do they shake things up and just go, all right, let's get some new blood in here, some new people with new ideas, let them go crazy?
It will be interesting to see what they do. I know they're probably going to keep throwing money at the Fantastic Beasts franchise, hoping that will take off, which it won't.
No, No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
They've had two films that didn't set the world on fire. I don't think it's going to happen with the third.
Yeah.
But it helps that Johnny Depp is gone anyway.
Yeah, true, true.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
This is going to make you potentially... I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but it's Lost related.
Ooh.
Matthew Fox is going to star and executive produce in a 5-episode adaptation of an apocalyptic thriller called Last Night. This will be for Peacock. Now, this is his first TV gig since Lost. What's that, 11 years ago, something like that?
Yes. Yes.
It's madness. The premise of Last Night is about a family fighting to survive in a world that's been suddenly thrown into chaos. He's going to be this bloke, an expat American living in London and one of the world's leading petrochemical engineers. And then there'll be like this crisis and he has to get involved and try and save the world, but also he wants to restore his family as well. 5 episodes, so you can see that this will start and finish, I imagine, the whole entire story. It'll be limited series.
So I clearly would have seen him in a lot of things. The last thing I think I can remember seeing him in of any meat, there was two things. One was World War Z. He was a helicopter pilot. Originally, his role was much larger in the film and it got cut out. Mm-hmm. Sorry, buddy. Mm. And then also a film called, Boneyard Tomahawk or something like that. It's about cannibals and cowboys.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
He did some weird choices. And I think he just, let's say he took an industry sabbatical.
I like that. That's good. Well, he'll be back with that at some point in time. I have no idea when, but he'll get to spend some time in London. That sounds nice.
Good on him. Here's a bonus fun fact.
Yes.
Originally, his character on Lost, Jack, was going to the original plan was, and they talked with him, and he was in. He was going to be played by Michael Keaton, and he was going to die horribly at the end of the first episode. He was going to be crushed by the falling cockpit of the plane, and some network executives quite rightly pointed out that viewers would never trust the show again if they'd spent the first episode closely following the hero character only to watch them get murdered or get killed horribly. Mm. Why would they invest in more characters? So it was a good choice. Still, Michael Keaton.
It does kind of sound like an idea, though, that is a thing that happens more regularly in series these days. That kind of psycho thing. That's what I always think about.
Yeah.
It's that psycho move. Because I think audiences today, particularly with shows that only potentially may have 1 to 2 seasons, I think they're open to those big shock moments in the first episode or two. Because then people will be like, right, I have no idea where this is going now. Let's go. But that wasn't really a thing.
Agreed. It wasn't. And like for context and for craziness, that same year, the same network, Desperate Housewives, started. And that starts the first episode with the main character being murdered and then being voiceover for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? That was around the same time. Two huge shows.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Kit Harington, he's being interviewed a little bit about The Eternals, which is coming up end of the year. And he's going to be playing Dane Whitman, who is a boyfriend to one of the characters in the film. And Marvel fans know that name as he becomes the Black Knight, which is great. However, he's playing dumb about his potential future. He's saying, you know, look, I'm aware, I've read the comics and things, I'm aware of what could potentially happen with my character further down the line, but there haven't been any conversations with me about it. I don't know for sure. That may be true. Hmm. Kevin Feige may be playing things close to his chest. You know, they've got 23 more films planned out. They know where he's potentially slotting in. But if The Eternals bombs, then... yeah, we may not see his character again. Who knows?
Mm. I just think it's funny. I can't see it bombing, though, right? I can't.
No,
I just can't see it.
It's going to do. It's got Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek and Kamal Nanjiani's abs and
Richard.
Just
whatever his name is.
Madden.
Yep.
Yeah, there's just so much good there. I just think it's funny that in these interviews, Jon Snow is proving once and for all He knows nothing.
That's great. This one is mainly for Lynn's. So this is a we'll have to find the timestamp and just so she can listen to this bit. So
I was going to say, I'll just tell her because she won't listen.
So in a continuation of the let's reboot / remake everything thing that's happening in Hollywood, Scott Bakula. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was one time during Sexy Times that I thought she almost called me that.
Too good.
Oh boy, Sam.
So he said talks are underway for a possible reboot of Quantum Leap. Now, sit down, because this gets quite convoluted and it becomes more and more Lynn's worthy by the second. So he told Bob Saget on Bob Saget's podcast about this. He said, there's very significant conversations about it right now going on. I don't know what it could be. I don't know who would have it, because the rights were a real mess for years, he said. I don't know... if they're sorted out completely now. That's always been the biggest complication. Now, Universal TV produced a series originally, I believe. I think so.
Yes.
That's where that's kind of what I was able to see when I was doing a quick research.
So does he either be in the first pilot episode, go back and get stuck as someone and changes his image, and that's how they continue the series with a new actor? Or,
but you've got to have
him. Is he the new? Yeah, like that's the mantle pass. Is that
he's going to have
now
the little iPhone with the lights all over it? Yes, that's him. Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
And that way you keep your Bakula.
Yeah, definitely. You've got to have him in it. This show is beloved, and I know it's beloved by many people other than just Lynn's. The show was I remember growing up watching it, and I also, if it's on, I'm going to watch an episode because it's fun and it sucks you in.
Good times. Deserving of more.
They still hold up.
Have you got more news?
I've got one more.
Hit it.
This is the Betty Gilpin... what would I call it? Fan club story? Because we're kind of fans of her. I don't think there are many people in this world who don't think she's great, right? So she's going to be in a series for Showtime with Shailene Woodley called Three Women. Now, it's based off a book about, this is the synopsis, get ready, The American Female Desire, and it follows three women on a crash course to radically overturn their lives. So Lena, that'll be Betty. She plays an Indiana woman in a passionless marriage who embarks on an all-consuming affair. And then they'll focus on, you know, two other women's stories as well. And Shailene will play Gia, a writer grieving the loss of her family, who pursues each woman to tell her story. So she will be like the tying link through these three women. It sounds very much like something that Shailene Woodley does.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see how Betty goes, but Betty is pretty good at playing one of those kind of housewives that has almost had enough, who's almost about to break and go a little bit crazy. Sure. I think this show is probably going to be pretty popular, especially the fact that it's on Showtime as well. There's obviously a bit of money behind it, so watch out for that. It's not coming anytime soon because I still haven't finished casting the other roles. Tom, have you got a fun fact?
I certainly do. Strap in. It's a big one. Today's fun fact is about Toy Story.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I was reading. What attracted Tom Hanks to the role of Woody was the fact that during his childhood, he always wondered if toys were alive and if they moved around when nobody was in the room. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What attracted Tim Allen to the role of Buzz Lightyear was the fact that before him, they offered the role to Chevy Chase, who was the biggest influence of Tim Allen's career. Originally, though, first offer went to Billy Crystal.
Wait, for who? For Woody. Okay.
Sorry, for Buzz.
Oh, really?
But he declined. After seeing the film, Billy Crystal said it was the biggest mistake of his career. Upon learning that, John Lasseter telephoned Billy's house to offer him the role of Mike Wazowski the next day. Billy's wife answered the telephone and said, "John Lasseter wants to speak to you." Billy took the telephone from his wife and said, "Yes." And then the final fun facts that I thought was great. The animation team perfected the movement of the toy soldiers by nailing a pair of sneakers to a sheet of wood and trying to walk around with them on.
Oh, yeah. I get that. Yep. That's really cool. Chevy Chase, though, as Buzz, that would be different.
I can totally see that. Different, very different. That's a much more droll, sarcastic.
That's what I was going to say. Sarcasm would be.
You are a sad little man and I pity you.
Yeah.
That's Chevy Chase vibe.
I feel like Tim Allen was not, because Tim Allen then, he was.
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. That's who he was. And he was not that. In Toy Story, obviously, and I think of them as almost two different Tim Allens.
Yeah.
But Chevy Chase would have just done Chevy Chase.
Yeah, wouldn't have. I don't know what he would have stretched or done differently, or yeah, I don't know. I do enjoy gazing into the crystal ball of alternate realities and finding out about these things. Stay tuned for next week's Fun Fact.
Well, I see no other reason now not to get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching? Tried to do it a bit different today. I think it was all right.
It was a little bit. So I have watched two cartoon movies that I would like to recommend for anyone who's a interested or a fan of more violent adult cartoons.
Yes.
Which I know is not a thing, but anyway, I've watched the two Mortal Kombat Legends films. The first one, Scorpion's Revenge, followed by, and it came out just a week or two ago, Battle of the Realms. So these are produced by the same company that does the DC, Batman, Superman, all of those animated films. They also do the Scooby-Doo animated movies, all sorts of things like that. And obviously the animators are getting the chance to stretch their legs and lean into the violent stuff that they can't do normally. So every fatality and kill involves, an X-ray, someone being sliced in half by a wide-brim hat with a sharp a razor edge. Then it slows down and goes see-through and you see the dismemberment. And all was very good fun. I particularly enjoyed the opening logo for the one that came out a few weeks ago. The first one has Daffy Duck running around on screen in front of the Warner Brothers logo. Scorpion opens the logo, screams, "Get over here!" hits him with the thing and drags him back inside. This one has Sub-Zero outside, and then Shaggy from Scooby-Doo opens it, glowing green in his ultimate Shaggy form, and goes, "Like, get over here!" and grabs him by the throat and drags him back in. Hilarious.
That's fun. That's so fun. I like it when I like it when people get the chance to just do this kind of stuff that's a mishmash. It's everything you want it to be and you never expect any of it.
Well, look, the guys making the film are clearly having a great time. As I said, there's some very creative kills and things like that. Casting-wise, a lot of the voices are, the standard voice actor cast, that sort of stuff. But Johnny Cage, who's the B-list action star character, who's always been very full of himself and this sort of stuff, he's voiced by Joel McHale. And is so spot on because he is playing it exactly like Community, like his character Community of, I'm too good to be slumming it with these people. And that's his entire vibe of a character. It just matches so perfectly. And so while the rest of the characters are taking everything deathly seriously because their life is on the line, the first movie he's convinced that his agent signed him up for a hidden reality movie. So he thinks this is all just special effects and keeps trying to pull monsters' head like masks off and all this sort of stuff. So he's almost like a Scooby-Doo character in this deathly series. It's great. It works well. They're, 90, maybe 80-minute long things.
That's a good
They're
time.
Not super long.
Yeah, that's good.
And, yeah, good fun. And I'm excited for the next one. It's cool to see where they progress and change things. They're pulling from an awful lot of the expanded lore from the games. So not only do we have Sub-Zero, we also have the second Sub-Zero now, and Scorpion, and Smoke, Noob Saibot, Cyrax, a lot of deeper cut characters are starting to pop up.
I know you played the latest Mortal Kombat, but you played almost every one, right?
Bits and pieces of most of them. I've played a lot of the arcade ones back
in
the day.
Yeah, of course. They were early massive ones. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, I had some years off, but then came back pretty strong, I think, with 8. Mm-hmm. And I've been pretty invested since then. And 10 was amazing. 11 is great fun. I'm sure it won't be long until 12 rolls around.
Yeah, it must be soon. I feel like that was a couple of years ago now.
Oh, we've got to get Injustice 3 or, you know, one of these other ones. Oh, I enjoy those Netherrealm fighting games. They're great. So, yeah, I strongly recommend those movies. Definitely do start with Scorpion's Revenge, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It does retread some of the same beats from the recent live-action movie, but being animation, it can lean a lot more into dragons and ghosts.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Hell and all that shit.
Man, watching them definitely left you with a smile. So that's if that's any indication of whether you should watch it or not, I reckon you probably should.
Look, I'm real amped because these same guys are about to put out the Injustice movie, which Injustice was a video game of these ones where the Joker killed Lois Lane and Superman snaps, kills Joker, and becomes an authoritarian force, basically ruling Earth with an iron fist. And Batman is really leading a resistance trying to take him down. So I'm very excited for the Mortal Kombat team to make that movie.
Wow.
Yes, God. Please.
Sofas, it's crazy.
That's not a watch. This is a watch. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I've been watching, and you know I've been excited for this season 3 of Sex Education on Netflix came out, and it's very easy to binge this show, but I am not doing that because I like when you get to watch a show and you get to think about it for a day or two and then watch the next episode. It's so much better. It's designed to be binged, but I'm holding back, and those characters are wonderful. There's some great continuations. There's some updates. We've come back at the beginning of a new school year. We've got a new principal who is played by what's her face? Because I can't just be like, oh, you know the girl from Girls, you know, that one. It doesn't.
Yeah, the English girl.
Yeah, the English girl.
You mentioned this, I want to say, 7 to 8 months ago.
Yes.
On the show.
Yes, Jemima Kirk. She is the new principal. But we didn't know in the teaser trailer that I was talking about back then that she'd actually been a student at the school. So she kind of has the ins and outs and the knows, and she's trying to get the school back on track away from all the controversy. So she's really – it's all about the look, the presentation, how they present the school to the public. Gillian Anderson, of course, is back as the mother, and she's kind of lost it a little bit. Like, she's a bit rattled, you know. She's a very confident character, a little bit rattled in the beginning because she got her own things happening. I don't want to give that away, but I was watching Barjo's stream the other night. And he was talking about it, and he said that he'd finished watching the season, and he put it so perfectly. He said each scene and each shot has been produced with such intent behind it. Like, there's nothing that they've done for no reason on this show.
Sure.
And he also said, which I really enjoyed, and I agree 100%, this show is about teenagers, but it's written for adults who can look back going, oh, that's kind of like what I, you know, that's kind of what we experience as teenagers, but they've added the adult, they've added adult problems in there as well. So you watch it and you're like, oh, yeah, I've got that problem now. It's really interesting. And it's true because there's, I think I told you at the beginning of season one, I was like, I don't know where this is supposed to be set because it looks American, but it's English. It looks like it's from the 90s, but they've all got mobile phones and stuff and using the internet. When is this set? And it's clearly, clearly designed for people who grew up in the early 90s who are adults now. That's what the show's for. That's who the show is for, which means it's exactly, it's perfect for us. Yeah, it's great. It's so much fun. So I'm trying to savor it. And if you don't already know that Sex Education Season 3 is out, Netflix algorithm is not working for you because it was telling me a lot.
It's been a big week for Netflix. There's 6 new episodes of Nailed It. Yep. There's a new season of The Circle.
So, The Circle. I haven't watched that, but I know that you guys watch it, don't you? Or you check
watched,
in.
It's watched in my house.
So you sit in the room whilst it's on. No, you're elsewhere in the house whilst it's being watched in the room. I get you.
I don't mind. I don't mind it. It's fine. But it's the sort of thing you need to invest in the characters to understand what's going on. Yeah. I'm not really there for that. Yeah. Anyway, what I did watch this week, which was great, was the series finale for real this time. Of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, how did it go?
It was awesome.
Good.
So they'd had a 10-episode last season. Each of them were batched up as 2 episodes. So it was only back for 5 weeks total that we had new episodes.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a long time.
It was. But they had tied up most of the storylines for the season throughout, basically summing them up at the end of episode 8. So it made you kind of go, okay, what are they going to do? And slowly throughout the season, some of the characters had found reasons to no longer work in the 99. Rosa became a private investigator because couldn't stand for what the police had become.
That's
as
right.
As a non-binary woman of color. And I'm not going to give away all the futures and things like that, but basically it meant that this last double episode they dedicate to one last heist, which the heist episodes are by far my favorite and the best ones, where it's outside the reality of the show of normal and they get really silly. But the last few heists, they've tied in major narrative life moments, you know, a proposal, a pregnancy confirmation, this sort of stuff. And this one, it was Andy Samberg's character was retiring. Because his wife, who's also, they have the baby on the show now, she had successfully submitted a plan for police reform and had been promoted to a captain. So he retired to become stay-at-home dad. Cool. Can you imagine how that hit me?
Yeah.
It was beautiful. But, got to do one last big heist, and it meant that they could drop, just sprinkle in so many of the best pop-up cameo characters they'd had. So, Jason Mantzoukas was there for 15 seconds. Fred Armisen was a weirdo for 10.
He plays a weirdo. How strange.
I know. Mleknos. He was hiding in a cupboard at the hospital. It was very, very strange, very strange. Wonderful, beautiful emotions. It's good when a comedy series can land a successful ending like that, and puts plenty of the characters on a very positive path for where they would go in the future. Enjoyed it. It's sad to see that show gone, but I'm very excited to see what a lot of those people involved do next.
Is there a chance for a private eye, private investigator spin-off series then?
From what I understand, behind the scenes, they had that much difficulty breaking this season. I don't think anyone ever wants to do another show, comedy show with cops. Not at the moment. There was talk of, could they all leave the cops and go to work for the post office? There was some seriously big ideas floated around in the background. Mm. I like the idea of the PI. I don't think it would work. The whole point of the finale was, enjoy that last day when you're with people, even when you know that you'll never all be together again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then of course, there's a bit of hope as a credit stinger that makes you go, oh, these people are going to be together. all the time.
Okay. All right. We'll have to watch the end then to get that nice little surprise.
Shawing, Shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've been watching a show that I didn't get. It's a Netflix heavy episode today because I've been watching a show that Netflix kept recommending and I thought I'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. It's called On The Verge and it has Delphi in it. Well, she has a lot to do with it. Yeah, she kind of created
across it.
Yeah, that's right. Elizabeth Shue as well. Giovanni Ribisi is in it.
The Beast.
Yep, that's right. He looks a lot like somebody that was in my circle of friends back in my early 20s to the point where I was like, I know it's not him, but my goodness, he has somehow managed to age into that person who was in their 20s when I knew them. It's bizarre. But aside from that, this is about a group of friends, quite affluent friends in LA, and Julie plays a chef. She's got Justine. She's got quite a successful restaurant, but all the characters just a little bit annoying, but not in like the kind of way we like, I cannot watch these people. You're like, you're very annoying, but something's going to happen with you, whether it be funny or you're going to go in some sort of weird trajectory. It is a comedy. It's like a dramedy kind of show, and I'm watching it usually when I'm either cooking or you know, kind of doing something. For me, it's in the background kind of show, and it's light. You don't have to be too focused on plot twists or whatnot, but there are some very funny little scenes in there that you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to think about that next time I'm in that situation, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a Tom show, but I would imagine there'd be some people who wouldn't mind having a watch of it because there's quite a few people in it who you mm-hmm. may not know the name of the actor, but you're like, oh, that person's in something, and they're playing quite a different character in the show. So
that's
On The Verge.
Cool.
Yeah, I reckon they'll probably do another season. On The Verge. I reckon they will. I can just see it. Yeah. Tom?
Yeah?
I've got a quiz for you, and it's a very Leah quiz, but I think you'll probably be able to guess your way through it. This week's quiz is...
Mm-hmm.
Who said this? Liz Lemon or Leslie Knope? So Liz Lemon from 30 Rock or Leslie Knope Ooh. From Parks and Rec. They are quite different characters, but
they are quite different. I like this.
Equally
like
ridiculous.
This.
All right.
Okay, good, good, good.
Here's the first one. I'm big enough to admit that I'm often inspired by myself.
That's Leslie Knope.
It is. It's Leslie. Good, 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 good. Yes.
I feel like that's the sort of thing that she would write and put on the front of a binder.
Yes. Yeah. She's more like into the inspirational, like, stuff to get you going. All right. What I hear when I'm being yelled at is people caring loudly at me.
Is that your girl, Liz Lemon?
It's Leslie again. But Leslie. That could easily be Liz Lemon walking into the writer's room.
Yes, and you did some actions for me that made me think.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, I'll be actionless.
No, actions are good.
Okay. If reality TV has taught us anything, it's that you can't keep people with no shame down.
That's Liz Lemon.
That's Liz Lemon, yeah. Because she would watch all the – she would watch that. Leslie Knope would not have time.
No.
Leslie's always
no.
busy. No. Liz would spend like a whole weekend just watching something she doesn't like to hate watch it. We need to remember what's important in life. Friends, waffles, work, or waffles, friends, work. Doesn't matter, but work is always third.
Leslie.
Yes. She did love those
JJ's
waffles.
JJ's Diner.
Yeah.
It's always about JJ's diner and their waffles.
She was obsessed, yeah. Hey, nerds, who's got two thumbs, speaks limited French, and hasn't cried once today? This moi.
Liz Lemon.
What I love is that even out of context, these lines are very good.
Yeah.
Final one. I don't really think it's fair for me to be on the jury since I'm a hologram.
I want to say Leslie Knope.
Do you want me to do the voice? I don't think it's really fair for me to be on the jury since I'm a hologram. That's the voice that the character made to try and get out of jury duty.
Oh, so it's Liz Lemon.
It's Liz Lemon dressed as Princess Leia.
I got thrown because that last season of Parks and Rec is slightly in the future, and then the last episode is like many, many years in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe there's a hologram bit of her that I forgot.
Yeah,
but
true.
No, I can see that. That's a very Liz excuse to get out of something.
I think that was like the first season. That was almost our introduction to 30 Rock. I watched Parks and Rec last year. Maybe it's time to do a 30 Rock rewatch again. It's been a few years.
Sure. It's funny. I've tried to dip my toe into a rewatch lately of anything, and my brain's not
not in the mood.
Too much new content.
Yeah,
folk, you're going to get a backlog.
Yeah,
you're going to get a backlog. I tried doing Flight of the Conchords again. I got 4 episodes in. I'm like, I love this show, but this is another 16 episodes. I got Mortal Kombat movies to watch.
Well, I realized I only had one What We Do in the Shadows episode to watch, and I sat down to watch it, and I got a bonus. I realized I had 2. It was brilliant. Sometimes the back catalog's good.
I haven't seen that last one yet. I've got it ready to go.
I won't tell you anything except for the fact that you can imagine it's very funny.
From what I know, it's a Jackie Daytona-esque. Get the vampires out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, it's very good. Tom, we'll be doing the lunchtime quiz again this Friday, 12:30. We'll kick off normal time again, so just 12:30. And that'll be lots of fun. And then next week will be the 200th episode.
Hoo, hoo, hoo.
It's big, just beyond comprehension. We are so dedicated to this cause. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Zut alors!